This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
3-2 delivery, and that's it. Outstanding performance by the Oriole pitchers in this ballgame as they come away with a 4-1 win in the opener.
Well, there's something you don't hear every day. Outstanding performance by the Orioles pitchers. Since when? You know Baltimore has the worst ERA in the American League? Do you know that? 5.61. In fact, I only look up the American League because it's the only one that's relevant. I'd be willing to bet that it's the worst in all of baseball. How could it possibly be any better than anybody in the National League when there's no DH over there? But the Red Sox go in and lose 4-1 of the Orioles, who, by the way, have allowed 75 home runs this year, most in the major leagues.
Jesus, that's high.
75 home runs they've given up, and it's basically two a game. Two home runs a game on average the Orioles have given up. I think I read somewhere this year, this is worth looking up, the Minnesota Twins played the Orioles four times and hit 23 home runs. I got to look that up, but I think that that's true. The Red Sox, they go in there, they get one run, and they lose. So I'll tell you what, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, let's open up the phone lines right away, 617-779-0985. It is a busy, busy, busy time here in Boston in the world of sports. Springs used to be like this in the 80s when the Bruins and the Celtics were in the playoffs routinely and the Red Sox were nothing more than an also-ran, if that, very mediocre team in the 80s, and you looked up and you didn't start paying attention to baseball until June 1st. Well, you know what? It's a lot like that right now, but nonetheless, if the Red Sox are your team, now's the time to get in. 617-779-0985. The Red Sox had a good weekend over the a good weekend series in Chicago against the White Sox. They won a few games there. They lost the series opener. They won the next three. And boy, did they do wonders for their run differential that weekend. Do you realize that entering last night, the Red Sox had gotten back to a run differential of even? Even. Zero. Zero. And they were one game, within one game of 500 going into last night. So let me ask you, as a Red Sox follower, do I have a right to be annoyed that they lost last night? Because I am. I'm annoyed. Like they go into Baltimore against a wretched pitching staff. A really, really bad pitching staff. After absolutely beating the tar out of the White Sox in Chicago and scoring however many runs it was in the last three games. I didn't even add them all up. So they go in there. They are 17-18 going into the game. And with a win, they have a chance to get to 500 for really the first time all year, right? Because didn't they win like the third game in Seattle? They haven't been 500 all year, I don't think. I don't think they were 1-1. I think that they lost the first two in Seattle. Correct. And then won the third.
Yes.
So they have not been a 500 team all year long. They had the chance to get there last night, and they lose 4-1. They give up a grand slam early, and really it felt like never even put up a fight. I was reading some of Jared Carabas today, who's a contributor to the program, as you know, and Jared on Barstool Sports said it was easily the most boring game of the year. Now, look, I admit it. I was locked in on the Bruins. I was locked in on the Celtics. It's a little bit of juggling for someone like me, and I'm not whining about it. I'm just telling you the facts. It's a little bit of a juggling act on a night like last night when, you know, we're on in the afternoon for 4 hours, and then there's a baseball hour afterward. Nonetheless, I had one eye on the Red Sox. They're down 4-0, and it felt to me like they never even really threatened the whole game. They didn't really even threaten against who? Who? Some nobody that pitches for the Orioles? Meanwhile, they continued an alarming trend, and I've said this all year long. If you look at the Red Sox, over and over and over again, they've had an opportunity with some of these series in the opener, in the first game, to change sort of the momentum and vibe of their season. In baseball, every time you go into a new series, it's like hitting that 10th tee in a golf course. You start over, you say, okay, here we go. I'll play better on the next nine. Murray, what was the stat you gave me earlier on the Red Sox and series openers this year?
Oh, yeah. So just give me one moment. I had it here, and give me one sec.
I think you said it was...
Yeah, they've played 12 series this season, and they have lost game one of the series nine times.
Nine times they've lost the opener. 9-3-9 in series openers. And again, I add last night to the list. See, a lot of people don't because Josh Smith was on the mound, whoever Josh Smith is, and we'll get to more about the starting pitching here in a minute, because David Price now on the injured list with a tendonitis in his left elbow. He joins Nathan Eovaldi on the injured list as well. So suddenly you're getting thin at starting pitching to the point where Josh Smith is on the mound last night. Nonetheless, you allowed four runs to the Orioles.
And the expectation had to have been, I would think, to at least to get four and two-thirds, maybe, at best. I mean, he went out there and got his face ripped off and gave up that grand slam in the third inning, and that was it.
I mean, so really, four runs? Josh Smith, again, whoever he is?
Right.
Not bad.
But still, you expect him to go a little bit deeper.
Okay, so I really should say the staff. The staff goes out and gives up four runs. After a weekend in which you absolutely bash the brains out of the Chicago White Sox. In fact, do we need to remind everybody exactly what happened in one of those games over the weekend with the White Sox? Do we need to remind everyone while the Bruins on Saturday night were nearly blowing a 3-1 lead and then ultimately coming back and beating Columbus to win game five? Do you know what was going on with the Red Sox and the White Sox? This was
1-0 Chicago going to the third. Two down for Vasquez, hitting .218. There's a base hit in left center field. And it'll bring up Benintendi. Little floater towards center field. It's going to drop in there for a base hit. And we'll take a bounce up against the wall. Mookie Betts with a two-run double. And the Red Sox jump into the lead.
Yeah, two-out damage right there. Mookie comes up big.
Another run is in. Mookie Betts crosses home plate. J.D. Martinez, 17 runs batted in. It is gone. Xander Bogaerts with number five. A two-run shot. Red Sox lead it 5-1. Here's the 3-2 to Chavis. And a shot to center field. Driving back Garcia. He's turning around. Watch it go. There's another one. Chavis with his fifth. Back-to-back home runs here in the third inning. 6-1 Sox. And there's a line shot by Devers. They don't even have their bullpen active yet. And now Steve Pierce, who began the inning. And the Red Sox are beginning to resemble last year's team. That one smoked to the left field. Devers going to be waved in. Eight consecutive hits with two out. Kiss that one goodbye. For Eduardo Nunez, his first home run of the season. Everybody has a hit in the inning.
This is historic.
Wow. Mercy.
He started.
High ground ball, and there's another base hit. This is just remarkable.
And he started it, and two hits on the inning, and finally Ricky comes and gets somebody out of this game.
That's incredible. That's 10 consecutive hits with two out.
Would you let me give up 10 hits? That, to me, that's unspeakable.
9-1 Red Sox.
10 hits in a row. 10 hits in a row. Again, I've seen some amazing things. Jimmy, you remember the game against the Marlins in 2003 it was, where the Red Sox had 10 runs?
Friday night game, it was 13 runs. Damon went 3-for-3 in the first inning.
I was going to say 13 or 14 runs in the first inning. It was ridiculous. I want to say that they made it the whole way through the lineup one time before there was an out recorded.
That is true, and the Marlins went through two pitchers that night.
By the way, the Marlins won the World Series that year.
Little apologized after the game for running up the score.
Okay, so 10 hits in a row for the Red Sox. Then they go up against the Orioles with Josh Smith on the mound. They allow only four runs and they score one and lose. So again, let me ask you, do I have a right to be frustrated by a game like that last night after the way they played over the weekend? Because the three White Sox games, Dave O'Brien, he was right. They began to resemble the Red Sox of last year. Again, they got that run differential all the way down to zero. They were negative. They've been one of the worst run differential teams in baseball all year long. They got it down to zero with those three beatings of the White Sox. Then they go to Baltimore and lose. It's just every time I start to think that they're coming around, they do something stupid. they do something stupid to make me want to just sort of roll my eyes again, which is what I'm doing. Cams and Lowell will begin with him tonight, and we'll get to your calls here throughout the hour. I also want to get to the pitching staff, David Price's injury. But, Cam, what do you got?
Yeah, so you have every right to be annoyed. I'm also super annoyed. The ups and downs of this team already starting to resemble the ups and downs of another team. The Celtics. And if this team is going to be like the Celtics up and down all year, I'm out. At least I know the Revolution will be consistently bad.
Cam, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna stop you right there for a second. Jimmy, do we want to play the sounder? Do you want to do that?
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, we finally have word on Bruins defenseman Charlie McAvoy as NHL player safety has just announced McAvoy has been suspended for one game for an illegal check to the head on Columbus's Josh Anderson in last night's 3-0 win.
Okay, I'm not the least bit surprised by this, and obviously this is a baseball show, but I do feel, given where the Bruins are in the postseason and what is going on there, that it's worth touching on this quickly. So, Charlie McAvoy suspended for a game. You should not be surprised by this. I think this is where it was headed here in the last, you know, less than 24 hours now, call it 22 hours or what have you. It happened at the end of the second period. And the Bruins here, honestly, I think got off as well as they could have. Because in that game last night, there was a chance that McAvoy would get bounced from the game completely, and you wouldn't have had him in the third period of a 1-0 game in Game 6 or in potentially Game 7 in Boston. As it turned out, the Bruins won the game. McAvoy played the third period, so he was able to contribute to that win. And Anderson also returned to the game, Murray, right, in the
Correct.
Third period?
Yeah.
So that worked in McAvoy's favor. But McAvoy played in the third period. He will now miss Game 1 of the series against Carolina, but that's it. And if you're going to get suspended in the postseason, Game 1's what you want to miss. Okay, so I felt at the time when I saw it happen, the Bruins better win in Game 6 because they're not going to have Charlie McAvoy in Game 7. And now we know again, Charlie McAvoy, as Murray just told you, suspended for one game by the NHL's Department of Player Safety. He will miss Game 1 against Carolina. Murray, has that been formally announced yet?
Yes. Yeah.
No, no, the game, I mean.
Thursday night, yeah.
Okay, so Game 1 is Thursday night. I just wasn't sure if that was officially out there yet or not. So there you go. We'll get back to the Red Sox. 617-779-0985. David Price's injury and what it means to the Red Sox. We'll do that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's bothering me right now, so we're just going to take a little bit of time, and it's nothing I haven't dealt with before, and it's nowhere near anything I've had since I've been here, so this is nothing.
Is it bothering you in the last start?
It's bothering me right now, so we're just going to take some time.
It's not something you, as of now, you don't have to get any MRI or anything like that?
No. I have a very good understanding of my arm, and this is the right move for us right now.
Is it a lasting pain, or just when you throw, or
I mean, you've done this for a long time and thrown a lot of pitches. You know, you feel stuff in there all the time, so it's nothing new.
Do you have an understanding of why it occurred?
Repetition, probably. It's just as part of it, and we're gonna get it back right, and I'll be back out there soon.
David Price, obviously talking about his elbow, his quote unquote unique elbow. That cost him to miss, it was about half the season a couple of years ago. He came back and looked absolutely awesome out of the bullpen in the playoffs, if you remember. And then last year, shocker of all shockers, Price stayed healthy all year. And I say shocker of all shockers because I did not expect that given the issues he had had the year before. David Price made 30 starts a year ago. and now is on the injured list. Red Sox have some off days in there, so he won't miss the 10 full games. But this is a blow to the Red Sox. Don't delude yourself. And Murray, I know you kind of chuckled when you saw this because of Price's contention that he has a unique, quote unquote, unique elbow.
Yeah, it's just a funny way to put it. It's unique. It's the only one in the world that acts like this. But I'm with you that he ended up having the season that he did last year and as dominant as he was in the postseason. It was not just a shock because of the lack of postseason success, but because I think a lot of people, myself included, expect that thing to explode at any moment. And it never did.
No,
so he had to figure something was going to, you know, rearing its head again at some point.
Yeah, not only did it stay together, he then had his best October ever.
Right,
he had his best October ever. And we're going to get back to your calls, too. Again, we have a couple of open lines. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. If you want to talk baseball, now's the time to do it. But this Price injury is significant. And when I say significant, if he's back in 10 days, no major harm and no foul. Fine. But the reality is, there were two real angles to this story. Okay, number one is this. Last year when you won, and I understand that Chris Sale went down, but you really didn't have any injuries to your pitchers in the first half of the year. None. In fact, if you look at the Red Sox starters, they really made their turns without any sort of a problem whatsoever. Last season, Rick Porcello made 33 starts. Price made 30. Sale made 27. Eduardo Rodriguez made 23. Okay, so those guys generally all made their turns. And then you had a handful of guys fill in along the way. Johnson, Eovaldi, Pomeranz, Velasquez, Stephen Wright made a handful. And then a couple of guys like Willie Cuevas, Jalen Beeks, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, but the point is your rotation for the most part stayed intact. And if you were to look historically at teams that make the playoffs, one of the real common denominators, or common factors is a better way to say it, one of the real common factors in playoff teams is that their starting pitchers remain healthy and take their regular turns. So you're not going down to your sixth, seventh, eighth starters on the depth chart. Those guys are all making their turns. Sale missed time in the second half. Okay, he did, but the Red Sox were so far ahead by then, and some of it, they told us, was by choice, and that if he absolutely had to pitch, he could have. Now, in retrospect, I think we doubt that. But nonetheless, the point being is that their pitchers stayed healthy. Okay? The second part is this. I thought that program in the spring was so that everyone could go deeper into the year. What happened to this masterful spring program where they were going to bring everybody along slowly? And remember, Price was behind everybody else, even Sale. Price pitched the fifth game out of the gate. Price was sick in the middle of spring training. They were pitching him in minor league games. He missed a turn, so he didn't go until the fifth game of the year. They held these guys back because the whole idea was they'll be stronger in September. Now here we are basically at the start of May, and David Price is on the DL. So what was the benefit of the spring program? Did you benefit from that or not? Because again, to me, what you do, when a player can't make it through the year, if you want to back him off a little bit in spring training, fine. The Red Sox went a little too far with that. But the other thing to do is build in a break in the middle of the year. Reset it. You don't just move the starting line and then have them go 5 months. Now, Sale was a different sort of animal. But all of them, the Red Sox backed them all off. They went slowly with the pitchers. Now Price is on the DL, or IL, sorry, I know it's been renamed, along with, by the way, Eovaldi, who's also on the IL. Which brings us to a bigger question about the Red Sox whole pitching staff, which we'll get to here. A, the Miles were bound to catch up with them. That's one thing that you can't really control when you make the postseason all the time. But secondly, did the spring program really have any benefit at all? Because Chris Sale, they were 0-6 in his starts until the White Sox series. And David Price and Eovaldi are now on the injured list. Go back to your phones. And Eric, who's in Lakeville. Eric, what do you got?
Hey, Maz. I just wanted to talk about JBJ. I mean, it's been years now. He hasn't been hitting as well as he should. And how much longer do you think they should wait before they look to trade him or just move on?
Well, so I think that they missed the opportunity already with Bradley, Eric. That's the problem. I mean, to me, I would have moved Bradley during the offseason. I thought they had a golden opportunity to do that, and they missed. I mean, he won the MVP of the LCS. I think he only had three hits in the LCS, if I remember right. But they were all for extra bases, and he had like 9 or 10 RBI, including a grand slam. So his hits were well-timed in the playoffs, and they were productive. But it's not like he ripped the cover off the ball. And also, you know, he missed a couple of games there in the middle of the White Sox series. And so I think that it had reached the point where Alex Cora said, you know what, this guy's running himself into the ground. So I can give you the exact numbers here. On after the third game of the year, Jackie Bradley was hitting 250. Okay, he was 3-for-12. Through the first game of the White Sox series, over a span covering 82 at-bats, Jackie Bradley hit 134. 25 games, he batted 134. He had 11 hits and 28 strikeouts. And this was after a spring in which he allegedly revamped his swing, started go more launch angle, had a good spring performance, and everybody hyped him up as, well, watch out for Bradley. Let's see what happens here. And what happened was Jackie Bradley went right back, not just to being what he was, he went beyond that. He's worse. He's worse now than he's ever been at the plate. So now, look, he played last night against the Orioles. He went 0-for-3. He had another strikeout. He did have a hit on Sunday against the White Sox, 1-for-3 with a couple of runs scored. He also walked in that game. But the fact is that Jackie Bradley's value now has dropped right back to where it was. During the winter, they had the opportunity to trade him and actually get something for him, and they missed the boat. Okay, they missed the boat. Another one on Dave Dombrowski. When we come back, I want to refrain from this as much as I can, but there's been a lot of talk about the Red Sox, the White House, and David Price's Twitter account here in the last 24 hours or so. I do want to touch on that topic because there is an angle to this story that I think is worth exploring that I'm not sure many people are talking about. We'll do that after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazzarotta show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is Rafael Devers at 294. High fly ball, dead away center field. Angle backing up. It is gone. There's number one for Rafael Devers.
Did you see where that ball landed?
7th, Tuesday night? Why would we be doing that? The answer? Because Rafael Devers? Well, let me back up here a little bit. Time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. That's why we're playing a Rafael Devers highlight. His last 18 games, Rafael Devers, 348, 8 extra base hits, 12 ribbies, 13 runs scored. Okay, so the good news is the Red Sox starting to get a little productivity there from Devers, and certainly the first home run always. This kid's got to hit for more power. He's not giving the Red Sox enough there, especially with the way he's played defense in the early part of the year. He's got to give him more power. Let's get back to your calls, and then I'll get back. We'll get to a bigger picture topic on the Red Sox concerning Alex Cora, the White House, and the tweet by both Steve Buckley and David Price that has caused a little bit of a stir. But I am going to give you a little bit of a preamble before we get to that. So Emil's in Fitchburg. Go ahead, Emil.
Hey, Tony. How are you tonight?
Good.
Hey, I just thought I'd throw something at you, Jackie Bradley Jr.-wise, is that if you look at it, every year with Jackie, he ends up doing the same thing. He doesn't hit it all during the season. His defense is always magic. And when it comes down to late in the season, right before the playoffs, the bat starts to come around, and then during the play, and the defense, again, is always there. And during the playoffs, you get both, because then he starts to hit when you need him. And, you know, you can't, again, the defense is second to none. And then you can compare him Orlando Cabrera. I mean, would you rather have another Edgar Renteria that can hit better, but he can't play defense to save his soul? Or would you rather have Jackie out there knowing what you're going to get in the field and take a little bit of light hitting? Well, a lot of light hitting. But when you need him,
okay,
he'll be there for you.
So, Emil,
tell me what you think.
Okay, so two things quickly. First of all, how's the defense been this year?
Again, he's off on that, which is unusual. So you got to figure out why. You know, that would be the first thing is why. What's going on as a whole?
Okay, but again, you said the defense is always there. I'm telling you that the defense hasn't been there in the early part of the year. And secondly,
that's right. That's fact.
And secondly, I'm going to respectfully disagree. Okay, and thank you for the call about the offense. It's not the same pattern every year. It's different every year. What he does though is he typically gets hot for a month or a month and a half, and that's it. So some years, go back and look, it happens in May. Some years, it happens in August. But he doesn't always hit in the postseason. Prior to last year, he had never hit in the postseason. In fact, he was dreadful in the postseason until last year. And I think you could argue even last year he didn't hit in the postseason. He only had three hits in the American League Championship Series, but they were all big hits. So here's my point on Bradley. He is what he is. The offense, the defense has never made up for the offense. And Red Sox fans love the flashy catches and the spectacular highlights because everyone does. It's eye candy. But the reality is, at that position, there aren't enough great plays over the course of the year that really warrant the kind of batting average that he carries. He just doesn't make up for it. So remember, prior to this most recent championship, your center fielders on championship caliber teams were guys who were offensive players. Johnny Damon and Jacoby Ellsbury. Neither one of them was anything that I would call magic in center field. They were okay. Damon couldn't throw at all. Neither could Ellsbury. And I would tell you that neither one of them had great instincts, but they had speed to run the ball down. Okay? You know what? Before I get to the whole Red Sox thing, I want to take this call because I've been wondering where this guy has been. My pal Angelo and Methuen, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, Anthony?
Angela, honestly, I'm not kidding you. I actually tweeted this out the other day, and I'm not even sure you know what Twitter is.
Yeah, because my friend was telling me today. I went to visit him. Because he called me up to wonder where I've been, and you got it on your tweet about me. I'm not calling up. I've been under the weather, but anyway,
all right,
forget about me. How you been?
I'm good. So, Angela, forgive me for asking this, because you're a big baseball fan, which I know you are. You've called the show religiously, and I don't want to get into too much personal stuff. I was just worried something happened to you.
Oh, no, I mean, I was a little under the weather. That's it, you know, nothing to worry about.
Okay, good.
Michael Chapman, you know who he reminds me of?
Who?
I mean, as far as his bat speed, Gary Sheffield. Remember how high he held the bat real high and his bat speed was great? He's got good, for a young player, he's got good bat speed.
So look, Angel, he's got a ton of power. Okay, and thank you for the call, and I'm glad whatever it was that was ailing you is now gone. I'm happy to hear that everything's all right up there. Murray knows. I asked about you the other day. I hadn't heard from Angelo.
He's usually a nightly caller.
Well, he always calls to bust my balls about Jackie Bradley and Xander Bogaerts. Those two guys in particular. So, Chavis, to me, important guy on this team. They need a young guy who's playing with some edge and who has something to prove. Because too many guys on this team, to me, now feel like they can just rest on their laurels. I felt that way about them before the championship. It's worse now than ever. So, Chavis has clearly given them a shot in the arm. And I'm happy to see that. I wouldn't compare him to Sheffield because I think Sheffield, to me, was a 300 hitter. Gary Sheffield could rake. This kid, I think, is going to hit for a low average and strike out a ton. Sheffield took walks. I think this kid will, too. But Sheffield could spray the ball all over the ballpark. Nonetheless, if Chavis hits home runs, everybody's going to be happy. Okay? I want to see him improve at second base. And we're all going to have patience there, myself included, because he's never played the position. And at times, it shows. A couple of those double plays he's tried to turn, holy mackerel. Like, talk about needing work. Nonetheless, I've seen some really clumsy guys with bad feet play second base and play it in a functional way. So we'll see what happens with Chavis. I keep meaning to get to this whole White House story with Alex Cora and with David Price. So here's what I'm going to tell you before we do that. We'll do it in the next segment. Generally speaking, at least on the afternoon show and on this one, we refrain from getting into issues that are quote-unquote political. Okay? And I would like to adhere to that. nonetheless, I think there was a spinoff topic from this whole thing with the Red Sox in the White House that does relate to baseball. We'll touch on that, and I will also give you my thoughts on Alex Cora missing the White House visit. We'll do that when we come back. Oh, and I forgot. I'll tell you the one Red Sox player that you really should be as pissed off at more than any other guy on the team. I'll tell you who that is when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Red Sox in Baltimore again tonight. Hector Velasquez on the mound. The guy to watch against him is Trey Mancini. 4-for-8 with a double and a walk and an OPS of almost 1,200 against Velasquez. So again, remember, the Red Sox now at this stage of the year. And it's early, but now you have Josh Smith pitching the first game and Hector Velasquez pitching the second against the Orioles. Meanwhile, on the other side, I think it's David Hess that's pitching for the Orioles. He actually looked half decent against the Red Sox early in the year. Benintendi against this guy, 3-for-8 with 3 homers. OPS of almost 2,000. And in that ballpark, left-handed batter, feels like a good night for a good matchup, rather, for Benintendi. I want to get back to your phone calls, but in the interim, because I told you to, I want to tell you the Red Sox player you should be the most pissed off at. We'll get to him in 1 minute. But first, all this stuff about the White House, who's going, who's not, and then Steve Buckley's tweet yesterday, Steve Buckley of The Athletic, formerly of the Boston Herald, and then David Price's retweet of a Buckley tweet, and Murray, I'm sorry, I'm springing this on you last second, but if you could just find that David Price tweet for me, I meant to do it, and I forgot.
Hopefully I'm not blocked. Let's see.
Okay, so first of all, with Alex Cora and his decision to not go to the White House, okay, we're talking about the manager of the team here. And typically, I don't get into this particular topic because, honestly, I'm not that interested in it. You do what you want. Now, in the past, we've discussed it, and I would tell you that, generally speaking, I don't know when all this White House crap started and when it became like a thing for someone to go or not go, and now it's like a huge deal. Like, everybody does it. Everyone's going to make a decision as to whether or not they're going. I liked it the old way. Which is to say that no matter who the president is, if you're invited to go out of the respect for the office, no matter who's in it, as a courtesy, it was considered a privilege to go to the White House. Like a championship team got invited to go to the White House. I liked it better that way. And so I would tell you that generally speaking, whether it was Theo Epstein or Tom Brady or whoever else was going or not going for political reasons, put your political reasons away and go. Okay, that's what I would generally tell you. However, I do think the Alex Cora case is a little different. Okay, and with Alex Cora, because he's from Puerto Rico, and he may be lying about the whole thing just to hide it and that he doesn't believe in Trump either. Okay? But the fact that he was annoyed about the relief efforts made in Puerto Rico after the hurricane or hurricanes, to me, feels like a little bit more of national pride on his behalf, and I think it's a little different. He's trying to be loyal to his country, whereas typically, the people who have gone or not gone are Americans, and I understand Puerto Rico is a territory of the U.S., but Murray and I looked it up earlier because, honestly, I couldn't remember. It's not as if Puerto Rico gets to vote for president. Okay, Puerto Ricans don't get to vote for president. So, again, if I were running the Red Sox, I would encourage everyone to go and respect the office. But we don't live in that era anymore, so be it. And again, I think Cora, though, is a little different. Okay, secondly, Steve Buckley, The Athletic, tweeted something out yesterday about how Alex Cora not going to the White House. And Murray, you're going to have to help me with the exact quote, tweet?
I'm looking at his tweet here. Alex Cora has confirmed newspaper report he will not make the trip to meet the president. So basically, it's the White Sox who will be going.
Okay, so it's the White Sox who will be going, Buckley tweeted. And David Price then retweeted that tweet and said, I just think that more than 38,000 people should see this.
Yes.
And 38,000 is the number of followers that Buckley has on his Twitter account.
Sure. Okay. Let me see.
I think it was something to that effect. You don't even have to look that
up. Yes, yeah, 30, yeah.
Okay, so Price was asked about this last night, and initially I think it was thought that he was supporting Buckley's tweet and acknowledging that there was a statement being made by minority players on the Red Sox. In reality, David Price said after the game that he thought that it was a, what was the term he used? That it was a, I don't want to say a racist tweet, but that it was, painting everyone with the same broad brush, and that Buckley was stereotyping and that he didn't like that. Okay. So that is the whole Twitter affair as it pertains to Buckley and David Price. And again, the players now, this has become a thing. Guys can do what they want. Okay, to me, you should go and respect the office, even if you don't respect the person who's in it. I wanted to get all that off my chest just because I feel like it's out there. I don't really feel like taking your calls on it. As it pertains to the Red Sox now and going back to baseball, and I said to you before the break, there is one guy in this Red Sox team you should really be pissed off at more than any other. Murray, you have any guesses as to who that is? You might know where I'm going with this, though.
Oh, yeah, I do exactly.
Okay, then don't give it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Jimmy Stewart, do you know who I'm talking about?
I do. I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
This man, you got you some money.
Okay, no.
Oh.
Steve Pierce?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. I thought I heard you bitching about Steve Pierce earlier before the show.
No, the guy right now you should be more pissed at than any other guy on the Red Sox is Stephen Wright. Stephen Wright. Because Chris Sale has taken a month to get into form, and I'm not even sure he's there yet, despite the game he pitched in Chicago last week. Nathan Eovaldi's on the injured list, shocker, and had to have loose bodies, allegedly cartilage, removed from his elbow. So he can't pitch. David Price is now on the injured list with tendonitis in his elbow. He can't pitch. Brian Johnson is on the injured list. He can't pitch. And so last night, you know who you got starting against the Orioles in a series opener after absolutely hammering the Chicago White Sox for three games? You got some guy named Josh Smith, whom I've never heard of, all because Stephen Wright got popped for PEDs and wasn't available to take the mound and won't be until halfway through the year. So, and remember, too, that Red Sox pitchers were annoyed by this in spring training. Chris Sale came out and spoke against it, and I think David Price said something similar, or maybe it was Porcello, but Red Sox pitchers were pissed off about it. So it wouldn't surprise me if Stephen Wright doesn't come back because they don't want him in that clubhouse. So anyway, now's the time where you need your sixth and seventh starter, but yours isn't available because he got popped for PEDs. Talk about letting the team down.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.